Good morning. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. I'm Erin Fulton, and joining me this morning, I have Debbie Miller here to talk about a book of memories and a tribute to the late President Jimmy Carter that's happening here in Sitka. Debbie, thanks for coming in this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So what is bringing you about, what's the impetus behind putting together this kind of memories and condolences book for President Carter? What is your connection to the late president?
Well, I had a very special personal connection with him back in 1990. This was at the time I was 38 years old, and I had a couple of young daughters. And I had written my first book about the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, and a book called Midnight Wilderness. And I got a call from an Atlanta producer who was doing a documentary on President Carter's life. Mm-hmm. And if you can imagine, he called me in Fairbanks and he said, hi, you know, we're doing this documentary on President Carter and he's read your book and he would like to meet you when we come to Alaska. So I was in disbelief, you know. And more than that, they wanted to meet me in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge because that was a place that he had never visited, mm-hmm. that he always wanted to see the caribou and the beauty and magnificence of that area. So it turned out I was planning a camping trip there that particular summer of 1990 mm-hmm. with my daughters and my sister. And so we said, sure, drop by. You know, what do you say?
What's a couple more people? Yeah, we can fit the president in.
And, sure. And it was kind of loosey-goosey. We weren't sure if he was really going to show up because of weather and Secret Service and all that. But right. There's the morning when I've got my little air-to-ground radio, mm-hmm. and here comes the helicopter. Wow. And I was nervous because we were almost out of food. We'd been camping for 10 days. Mm-hmm. And I was worried I didn't have anything to serve President Carter and Rosalynn Carter. And they brought a whole cooler of really good, you know, country fried chicken and fresh fruit. And they brought the whole Southern comfort kind of lunch.
It seems like the type of people who don't show up to a gathering without something for the host.
Yes.
You know?
And they went fishing. And my four-year-old daughter wanted to teach President Carter how to fish, and he went right along with it because he had grandkids. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she got out her little Mickey Mouse pole, and this is how you do it. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we're at this Akpilik Lake in the Arctic Refuge, and they're fly fishing. And my daughter Robin had never seen catch and release. Mm. So President Carter catches this really nice Arctic grayling, and then he takes it off the hook, and he puts it back in the lake. And my daughter marches up to him, President Carter, what are you doing? We eat the fish. And he laughed, you know, and gave her a piggyback ride back to camp.
So
it was just really a special day, you know, bird watching, hiking. And he had such a love for Alaska, mm-hmm. and had other trips here. One to Angoon when he was honored, you know, by the people, mm-hmm. and given a Tlingit name, that I have a hard time pronouncing. Nauhu. And that was after a 13-year-old boy who had witnessed the bombardment, mm-hmm. of Angoon. And so President Carter was the first president to visit the area and listen to that story. And as a follow-up to that, he felt very strongly about having subsistence protections in the Alaska Lands Act in Anilka, which got written into the purposes of all the parks and refuges, that would be a purpose to protect subsistence uses and activities by traditional, you know, Native cultures. And I think he felt strongly about that. And that's something that we still live with today, along with 19 wilderness areas that were established under Anilka, mm-hmm. in the Tongass National Forest, including South Baranof Island and Chichikov-Yacobi Wilderness, and all these magnificent areas that people come to see from all over the world, and that we
get to have in our backyard.
We have it in our backyard, which I'm grateful for what he established, over 100 million acres of parks and refuges, mm-hmm. and wilderness areas. These are places of great beauty that we treasure, that visitors treasure. And more than that, of course, he was a great humanitarian, a peacemaker, and did so much good work for the world in Africa at the Carter Center. They've eradicated river blindness in Africa. They almost have guinea worm disease eradicated in Africa. He made many trips to Africa with Rosalynn, doing this great work, you know, health work, public health work. And they were just amazing people. And then Habitat for Humanity.
Right.
You know, building houses for other people. He was truly such a mentor and an inspiration for so many of us. I thought, how cool would it be to have a condolence tribute book that would come from Sitka?
Right.
And maybe other people in Alaska will sign it too, but primarily I'm starting here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping that people come to the library. The book will be available for 2 weeks starting yesterday. You walk in the library, and on the left, mm-hmm. it's very visible, and a little flyer that describes it. And you can sign and your name, your memory, your what you're grateful for, whatever comes to mind. And it will go to the Carter Center. It will go to the Carter family.
Mm-hmm.
They'll get to see this. I picked a condolence book on Etsy because I couldn't find a nice one in Sitka. I was looking around, and I found one that was made out of wood.
Oh, nice.
That has a really nice maple sort of cover. And President Carter was a woodworker since high school. He loved working with wood. So I thought, how perfect is this?
Very fitting.
I mean, he was like grew up in a really small town, much smaller than Sitka, like 600 people when he was born in Plains.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the first president to be born in a hospital.
That is a fun factoid I did not realize.
1924. Wow. So, he was, 100 years old and in this little teeny town. And he was the first governor to speak out against racial discrimination very loudly when he did his inaugural in Georgia, which was, Jim Crow state. And it wasn't, soon after Desegregation Act had been passed in 1964. He was governor in 71. So he really was the first person to, as a leader, that said, okay, everybody, let's get this together. And then, of course, he went on to do great things in that field and as a peacemaker with
both in his public offices and his many, many decades outside of that public office as well.
Yeah. And if you've ever been to the Carter Center, maybe some people have, it's a wonderful stop in Atlanta to see all the good work they've done all over the world.
Yeah, and these, you mentioned before we went on air, like these condolence books, there's some that have been kind of created in cities all over the country that the Carter Center kind of started.
Yes.
And you took it upon yourself knowing that Carter's connection with Alaska and your connection with him personally that started on that camping trip and him reading your book and continued as like a pen pal relationship for years that Carter Center might not have started having Alaska on the part of that dozen cities creating those books, but it needed to be
Be a part of it. I mean, I think the closest city was Seattle, and there's one I think in near San Francisco that they're having an event. But Alaska was such a love for him. He had a map of Alaska in the Oval Office. And when they were working on the Lands Act in the late 70s and the D2 days, and there are people in this town that I talked to Larry Edwards yesterday. He was actually in D.C. when they signed in the House.
Mm-hmm.
They signed the legislation. He witnessed it in the gallery. So there are people in Sitka that have stories from when the Alaska Lands Act passed. I would love those people to show up and sign the book.
Right.
Because this was a big part of his legacy. And the one thing he told me in the Arctic was of everything in his domestic policy, the most important thing he felt, the highlight of his administration, was the passage of the Alaska Lands Act in 1980. So this was a big deal. And Cecil Andrus, his Secretary of Interior, he would bring topo maps into the Oval Office, and they would get on their hands and knees. And he learned all the boundary lines and the rivers and the mountains, and he longed to come up here and to see these areas himself, which he did.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I mean, you spend that much time studying the details of it, and when you just see it with paper and ink, yeah, to see it in person is pretty special. That must have been a very special experience for him to be able to experience it in person with you.
Well, not only that, the next day after he was in our camp, he was able to go out on the coastal plain, and it just so happened that particular time frame that the porcupine caribou herd was gathering on the coastal plain. 100,000 animals walked by him and Roslyn on the coastal plain. So that's something that you don't always see.
No.
When the herd gathers and aggregates to that level. And I was so grateful that he got to witness it in its fullest moment of of life. And he said, now I get it why they call it America's Serengeti. Right. It's the closest thing we have to the Serengeti.
Truly.
Is when you see 100,000 caribou marching across the coastal plain. And of course, he felt very strongly that we shouldn't have oil development there because it is such a sensitive area for wildlife. Mm-hmm. And he spoke out about that as well.
Awesome. Oh, goodness, we're kind of out of time this morning, Debbie, but thank you so much for sharing your personal stories with President Carter and for putting together a chance for Sitkins to share their memories, how his works as president and his time doing humanitarian work has impacted all of us. As you said, he's done a lot of work for Alaska. It's always had a special place in his heart. So for a chance for Sitkins to share their memories, share their appreciation, and have that go back to the Carter family is a nice thing for folks to be able to do. So the condolence book will be available for folks to share their thoughts and memories at the library for the next 2 weeks.
Yes, until February 4th.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Well, Debbie Miller, thank you so much for coming in, for sharing your stories, and for this opportunity for Sitkins.
Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure.
Appreciate it.